This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of the week. And you know what that means, fellow conspiracy realist. It is time for some strange news. We're going to learn a little bit about a real-life Yogi Bear at the end, just as a palate cleanser. It turns out the newest jet stealth technology is pretty good. And we're going to investigate something that has disturbed all of us, I think, over in Los Angeles. Before we do any of that, we're going to tell you a story that it appears the West would rather you not know. We were talking about this a little bit off air because we do continually text each other. We're in a very strange bromance. you guys ever heard of Armenia?
You know, Ben, I mentioned this in our group texts. I'm going to go ahead and cop to it. Everything I've learned about the political struggles in Armenia, I learned from the band System of a Down.
Ah.
Great band.
Yeah. They are a great band. One of the few bands of that era that hold up, and they are Armenian. And a lot of their song lyrics are about some of the genocide in Armenia and things like that in the past. But I'm sadly not up to speed.
Well, back in 2015, Noel, just before you officially came on, we did an episode on genocide, specifically focusing on, oh, I might say it wrong, Medz Yegern. I don't know how to say it correctly. I apologize, everyone. Quote, the great evil crime of the Armenian genocide. And that's the only time I've really spent a lot of time in that headspace, I guess, learning about the country and the politics.
Mm-hmm. What's happening now is not being widely reported, perhaps with the same level of diligence that you will read in terms of Western reporting on the Ukrainian conflict with Russia. Here's what you need to know, folks. Quite recently, the nation of Azerbaijan, it's kind of like the Pete Best of the stands. I'm doing Beatles jokes inappropriately. Azerbaijan has attacked an enclave of Armenia. And while this is happening, they are committing war crimes. They are using state-level military tactics against civilians. Turkey is refusing to help. Turkey, of course, being the number one fanboys of eliminating all Armenian people. The Armenian genocide to which you refer, Matt, occurred in 1915. 1916. But again, history is way closer than it looks in the rearview mirror. More than a million people probably died, executed, civilians. And this was a genocide. I really appreciate you pointing out our earlier episode on genocide, because we know the word itself gets a bit legalistic, right? And some people feel that they own the phrase genocide.
Well, it's like also a phrase that maybe I'm wrong. Is there a spectrum within which the term genocide exists, or is it referring to something very specific?
That's the debate you will have often at the United Nations, right? And in criminal courts around the world. No country wants to be identified as a perpetrator of genocide. And we might lose our ability to enter Turkey for saying this, the nation of Turkey, but not the people of Turkey. The government of Turkey has been attempting to erase the existence of Armenia for quite some time, for more than a century now, if not earlier. And here's what happened. So if you look at a map, if you pull up a map of Azerbaijan and Armenia, you'll see that they are neighbors. To the north of them is Georgia. And Georgia as a country is, I'm going to be honest, it's a little bit cooler than Georgia, the state in the U.S. And then there's Russia right to the northeast. Armenia shares a border with Turkey and Iran. In the old days of the USSR, due entirely to geography, Armenia was a Soviet state. And when the USSR fell toward what the West calls the end of the Cold War, they retained security agreements. The Federated States of Russia said, look, we had a good run, you know, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Armenia, etc., all the stands, but we will maintain security agreements. Uncle Sam has done little to nothing to protect Armenian civilians from attacks. And as we were talking about, because we're super fun in our group text, as we were talking about earlier, geography decides all, hang on. Well, let's keep this in. I got a cat scratching these things.
Well, hey, while you're dealing with that, Ben, I just wanted to back you up on that point about how the U.S. hasn't really done anything. I was recalling as you were talking about that back in 2021, current President Joe Biden, President of the United States, he had made a campaign promise to recognize the Armenian genocide. And it was made public in 2021 that he was going to come forward and, you know, and it's so weird with diplomacy. He was just going to say out loud at a podium that the United States recognizes the genocide around, you know, that the April date when it's recognized.
And just recognize.
Yeah, not literally just say it happened. But Turkey came forward and was basically like, hey, you really shouldn't do that. It's really going to harm ties with Turkey. So you really shouldn't. But he did it anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not doing anything, but it's crazy that just recognizing it is such a big diplomatic move one way or the other.
Right. Similar to Taiwan and China, perhaps similar to some other things. Closer to home, folks, we would love to hear your opinion. This is what's happening now. As the West was reporting on Ukraine, as the West was talking about, I don't know, whatever's happening with celebrities, the Russian Empire in its current state fell. And when any empire falls, it's a lot like a whale sinking to the bottom of the seafloor. Scavengers appear. Armenia had a security agreement with a state that can no longer support that agreement. At the same time, on the chessboard, the nation of Turkey has joined NATO. NATO is a tricky group project. If you're in NATO and you say, nah, don't do it, then everybody else in NATO will have to say, ah, this guy doesn't want it. So NATO and therefore the United States are likely not going to help, again, these innocent people. The issue is here that it's like if you bought insurance or you invested in stocks for a company that no longer exists, how will you retain that investment? That's the question. Now, Azerbaijan is a country that, in full disclosure, those of us on the show today would have a hard time visiting. We could get in, but getting out becomes a different conversation, primarily due to the proximity of Iran. And Armenia now, as we're recording, there's a ceasefire brokered by ostensibly the Russian government, but that ceasefire is probably not going to hold because what Azerbaijan is attacking is an enclave of Armenian people, an Armenian, again, civilian population in a place called Nagorno-Karabakh. Nagorno-Karabakh is, it's weird if you look at a map because it's outside of the legal borders of Armenia. But the people living there, they're all Armenian. And Azerbaijan was kind of like a bad dog when Russia held the leash. And Russia has its own fish to fry. So to be clear, to your point, Noel, System of a Down, absolutely right. I don't care how people feel about math rock. First off, they are good at math rock. But secondly, they are right in that the West is ignoring war crimes against civilians. I don't know. Maybe the West wants us blissfully ignorant. What do you guys think?
Is this in some way a continuation of the war crimes of the past? Again, I wasn't in on that episode. I am woefully underschooled. Can you kind of give us a little bit more context, maybe?
Yes, sure. So first thing we all must acknowledge, geography determines civilizations. Azerbaijan has the coast of the Caspian Sea, and to the west of Azerbaijan is Armenia, sandwiched between Azerbaijan and Turkey, and to the south by Iran. We're keeping Georgia out of the conversation because they might be in the same boat later if this chaos continues. This, to be clear, this is a future episode, and we're just giving a quick primer here. There is no shame, no judgment, no condescension. During World War I, the Ottoman Empire, which is like the, for conservative Turkish politicians, it's like the Confederacy, but way longer and way more successful. During World War I, the Ottoman Empire sought to systematically destroy Armenia as a nation, as a concept, and as a people. This is true. Doesn't matter if this gets us in trouble with the leaders of Turkey. It is simply factual. They tried to kill every Armenian person. And the issues there, after World War I, of course, the Ottoman Empire, which honestly always kind of sucked, it fell. And the USSR came into being, became a global power, became a hegemon, and started to take control of anything within its sphere of influence. And that counts all the stands. That counts all of like the Georgias, the Eastern Europe countries, Eastern European countries. That counts Armenia. And Armenia was, for a time, tacitly protected. Armenia, due to geography, could not ever crack a deal with NATO or the US. And when Russia fell, and Russia is a collapsed state now, folks, when Russia fell, the government of Azerbaijan, in cooperation with the government of Turkey, conspired and does conspire to erase these people. It's always been the genocide question. That is the ultimate aim. If we could, we would love to ask for your help, fellow conspiracy realist, 1-833-STDWYTK, conspiracydieheartradio.com. Want to end this segment with a message from an Armenian contact of ours who is outside of the country, we have changed some of the specifics in the interest of protecting the innocent. Here it is. Armenians are seeing their worst nightmare come true. Every single one of us was raised with stories of the horrors of the Armenian genocide. My namesake, my great-grandmother, hid under dead bodies while her family was slaughtered. The person writing to us, by the way, is about the same age as you, if you're listening to the show. She and her sister survived, but their losses marked them forever. Like in many traditional families, my great-grandmother and grandparents lived with my parents and siblings all under one roof. My grandmother died only speaking Turkish, having lost her mother tongue. I was raised by a family very active in passing legislation commemorating the Armenian genocide in the United States. We skipped school every year on April 24th to gather at City Hall. Never again, we said. Well, make no mistake, what is happening now is Erdogan, the leader of Turkey, and Aliyev taking care of unfinished business. To them, we are only subhuman pests in the way of a united Turkish empire. Children in Azerbaijan are taught this in grade school. Heavy.
Yeah.
That's super heavy.
Just to grow up kind of in the shadow of that, you know, the specter of that kind of, it just feels like you wouldn't be able to feel truly safe.
It makes me realize how disconnected I am personally from that part of the world. News coming out of that part of the world, culturally, that part of the world, everywhere around there. I didn't realize that in last year, in 2022, Turkey went to the UN and changed the spelling of the name of the Republic of Turkey. Ben, you were pronouncing it a little differently than I'd heard before. And I was like, oh, that's why. Because I looked at a map for the first time and looked at Turkey for the first time. And I don't know when, maybe since that 2015 episode. And I was just like, again, the disconnect is so strong. It makes me really sad listening to that message.
You know why they changed the name, Matt?
No.
True story. They got pissed about how Turkey in English is a description of a somewhat dickish flightless bird. They're mad about turkeys, just like us.
We've talked about that. That's so funny. That is so funny.
That was their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are going to hopefully do an episode on this in the future. If you are listening in that part of the world, if you have loved ones in that part of the world, tell us your stories. We cannot emphasize this enough. It is easy in a world of ubiquitous communication and constant headlines. It is devilishly and damnably easy to forget that the world exists and other things are happening there. So help us spread the word. Help us learn more. Take us to the edge of the rabbit hole. We have your back, folks. We're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to explore a pretty fascinating story about just how good Uncle Sam's jet stealth technology is.
Mm-hmm. But maybe not the seats.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
And we're back. Ben, beautiful pre-ad tease here. I think we've all been keeping an eye on this story about a very expensive aeroplane that went missing. How does that happen, you might ask? How could we let this happen? Well, the Lockheed Martin F-35B, a variant of the F-35, which is specifically designed for the Marine Corps. It has a nifty feature that allows it to take off in like hover mode so that it can take off from an aircraft carrier. A pilot who has not been named, was taking one of these out on a training maneuver, whatever you want to call it, and for whatever reason, ejected from the cockpit, and then weirdly the plane kept flying for quite a long time. People saw it on a beach, like took videos of it, and for a little while, for a couple of days at least, it was a mystery. And the government literally was like, it was almost like they were putting like milk carton pictures, have you seen this plane, here's a right. Phone number, we miss our little baby. Please help us bring our baby home, our $100 million baby.
It was like if you're a kid and playing baseball and you hit the ball in a nice home run into a neighbor's yard or somewhere, and you're like, hey guys, no harm, no foul. If you happen to see, you described it perfectly, Noel, missing pet posters.
It's hilarious. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the takeaway of the, there was a couple of takeaways of the story. One, a $100 million war toy can go missing. And two, said $100 million war toy may have some issues. it seems like there have been other instances of some potential snags in this Lockheed Martin design. And some of them relate specifically to the ejector seat. It's my understanding, and y'all please keep me in check here, that this particular variant, again, because of its ability to take off and land like a helicopter, always makes me think of the X-Men jet, the whatever it's called. The X-Wing? I don't know. It was like that. It was like a hover thing. And I guess at the time, that like didn't exist, maybe. This is definitely, I mean, I know there are aircraft that can do this, but it feels like it's pretty intensely, cutting edge technology.
You might be thinking of the Avengers Quinjet. The X-Men jet's a Blackbird.
That's right. I think you caught me. I think I was thinking of the Avengers jet that has the vertical landing thing, because it had like jets that would kind of flip upside down and like shoot rockets, and that's not quite how that would work. Probably. I don't quite understand. It's beyond my pay grade, the technology that allows them to do this. But again, this variant Because of the ability that it has to take off vertically and land vertically, apparently the ejector seat has like an auto eject function.
Well, only on this variant.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Yeah. Specifically on this variant. The other ones are different. You have to initiate the eject sequence. Eject sequence initiated in the other models. So the question you all might be asking or have asked, I'm sure, is... Oh, by the way, we also talked about this off mic. They are describing the event that led to the ejection as a... What was the word, Ben?
Mishap.
A mishap. Right. In aviation parlance, apparently that is a word that means we don't want to talk about it, or we can't tell you about it, or we don't know. It's some sort of technical difficulty, a glitch. And that's, it would make sense, you know. This apparently the program for these F-35s has ballooned to over $1.7 trillion.
What? No way.
I'm not to get on a soapbox here, but it makes me really sick when the government pleads poverty about things like education and welfare services and just general humanitarian aid for its citizens. Like, you know, I have insurance, but my health care sucks and it's like expensive no matter what. And not, God forbid, people that don't have insurance. And yet we're spending $1.7 trillion on these war toys. And I know I'm being flippant. I know it's about defense. I know we have to maintain supremacy in the air and the sea and all of that stuff, or at least the illusion thereof. But I feel like, you know, we've done stories about them spending millions of dollars on like coffee warmers. You know, it just seems like it's the military is a money pit.
Are you trying to take money out of Lockheed Martin's pocket, bro?
I mean,
this look, guy.
I know, man. I know. It's a hot take for sure. But
no, you're right. You're right. Eisenhower would agree with you in the most controversial speech he made. You know, this is every bomb dropped, right? Every defense R&D project could have made how many libraries? Could have fed how many children? It's a good question.
Yeah, but they are making F-35B Lightning IIs, which is like a badass video game.
They're the new Jordans.
It does sound
sick,
man.
They're the new Jordans.
Don't get me wrong. That's why. And look, again, I'm not trying to be flippant, but I'm calling it a war toy because that's just kind of what it feels like to me. It just sounds like a cool ass, you know, plaything, you know, and apparently this one had some issues because, again, I'm sorry, I sort of got ahead of myself or at least derailed myself. The question you might be asking is, why would this eject sequence happen and then the plane continue to fly for more than 60 miles?
Like, that's
what critical thing could have happened that caused this pilot to be ejected and then the plane just, whoop, there it is. Look at it go. You know,
it would
whoop,
be,
there it is.
Would be really messed up if it was just like some software issue and the auto eject just occurred and he's like, whoops.
Whee!
This is why we do training, though.
Yeah.
No, this is why you got to take it around the block. You know what I mean? The problem is these test drives occur hundreds of millions of dollars later. And again, I was an absolute terrible entity on Twitter. You guys saw it. And I was just saying, hey, turns out that new stealth is pretty top notch.
Oh, that's a big part of it. Yeah. Like where to go? You know, like,
yeah. To your question, Noel, you know, it reminded me, I want to go back to this amazing analogy you make with a lost pet, which is like, you've seen it countless times, folks. If you live in an area where people are safe enough to have domestic animals, someone might have their dog on a leash and the dog runs away. And the owner is like, nah, I don't have the land speed to catch this little guy. I guess I got to go home and print some posters. But the parachuting thing, the ejection thing, I think that's a good measure to have, because if you're counting on only voluntary ejection, then other variables enter into the game, right? Like, what if the pilot passes out? What if the pilot is somehow 100%. Incapacitated?
G's, right? Like, you can pass out from G-force. There's a lot of but ifs for dang sure. What you got, Matt?
Well, okay, so this is what we know from the AP News article that came out when this was, like, first happening. This is what I read, at least. It was stating that the warplane, the jet, was only flying at about 1,000 feet altitude, which is super low for one of these massive planes.
That's lower than cruising altitude for a commercial flight.
Way lower.
Yeah.
Like 29,000 feet lower, or whatever. Yeah, I mean, something like that.
It's like low enough that someone in rural South Carolina either called 911 or they called their militia buddies and said, it's happening.
Yeah, that's weird, right? That's odd to me that because the problems with like oxygen feed into an aircraft occur when you get higher in elevation, when the pressure, cabin pressure is so great that if you know you lose some pressure, the pilot could actually asphyxiate or lose oxygen and you'd have problems. At 1,000 feet, generally that's not going to happen, although there are differences in this type of aircraft and like a passenger aircraft. And that's what I'm kind of comparing it to because that's what I've learned about. But like, at 1,000 feet, it doesn't feel like it's oxygen or pressurization. It feels like systems, something systems internal.
100%. And it makes me think of like some of these new cars. Like I rode around in a rental car this weekend on a little family trip with some friends. And there's a feature that a lot of these new cars have where if you aren't maintaining lane, or even if you just switch lanes kind of quickly, it beeps at you. Honestly, it scared the crap out of us to the point where it was like more of a bug than a feature. So I'm wondering if this like auto eject thing, that's like an extreme version of this, you know, where it's like, whoops, and you're in the air.
Well, that was a problem with the it reminds me a lot of that 737 MAX problem, where the aircraft itself would nose down because there was a sensor on it would be faulty, and it would like try and it thought that it was raising its nose too high, and it would try to compensate. And by trying to compensate, it would send the aircraft directly into the ground or water.
Yikes. Also a Boeing thing. And the to your point, the 747 also got discontinued as of this year. So they got some complicated math going on.
Yeah, well, you know. So the Lockheed Martin got some splaining to do, let's just say, given all of the R&D that's gone into this program, the cost overruns. And again, I want to say there was another issue very similar. Last December, an F-38B that hadn't yet been delivered to the Marine Corps crashed at Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base, Fort Worth in Texas. And it involved use of the hover mode. Apparently, it was in hover mode over the airstrip and then started to drop. Sorry, I'm not laughing. This is unfortunate. Whoever was in there, I'm sure, was terrified. Hit the runway, had a good little bounce, and then the pilot was ejected. It's like some cartoony sound and stuff. It just sounds like there's some issues here with this line, and given how much it costs, it's certainly something to investigate. They did, up till a few days ago, this was quite the mystery. There are people that posted pictures and images to social media of this plane just kind of circling around this beach in North Carolina, or South Carolina rather. And it was seen, I think it's actually a lake. Lake Moultrie, I believe, was the last known location. And I believe just yesterday, or maybe even today, I think it was yesterday, the wreckage of the plane was discovered. So that's a wrecked ass plane right there. That's $100 million. You know, down the old tuberinos. So still more questions, because again, there's just calling it a mishap, a little whoopsie. But you know, I guess maybe, Ben, do you think some of the lack of detail is because of things like national security? To your point it's a missing invisiplane. You know, that's sort of doing what it does and doing it quite well. But I did think it was funny that they literally were like crowdsourcing this. Like, have you seen our plane? Like, yeah, and it's scary. What if it had crashed in a civilian, you know, population? Like, I don't understand fully how this autopilot technology works. Like, is it designed to fly indefinitely to self-land? Like, why do we even need, why aren't they just like drones if they have such an advanced, you know, autopilot system?
Right. Is this another, Is this another talking point in the argument for unmanned war craft, right? That's a big part of it, honestly, because to your point, Noel, we have very limited information as the public. Obviously, the question for anybody who's been on a commercial airplane is, what about the transponder? Where is that thing, right? Is it there?
Some
secret black box that contacts you in a secret way if you're in charge of the plane. The F-35s do have transponders. And Uncle Sam
have to be mega encrypted in some way, you know, really like, you know, tight.
And Uncle Sam is supposed to be able to track them. The current scuttlebutt that I heard was out of quote unquote private industry defense analyst firms. They say that it's possible this was an error of group projects. Picture one group working on the newest, coolest, best, most safe for the pilot ejection system and not really talking with the group that works on the best, most encrypted transponder or any other component of the craft entire.
Yeah.
What if the ejection seat, as J.J. Gertler said over at Teal Group, what if the ejection seat was so powerful that it, quote, cooked the electronics and the wires and cut off the power to the transponder?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Well, but the other thing is, why in the heck did it happen in the first place? Because if the pilot didn't accidentally or somehow automatically get ejected, that pilot made the decision to eject. So if you go down that route, why would the pilot do that? And why would the plane continue for that long? It sounds to me like one of those situations where this you get locked out of a system, right? You your computer freezes or whatever. You have no control anymore, but it's on its auto systems. The
access denied.
Stuff is still running in the background.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you do in that point if you're that pilot? You know, make contact with whoever you can, try and fix the problem. If IT can't help you and you're still in the plane, what do you do?
Got that hold music in your little your space helmet.
I'm going to put in one thing, and I know we got to go to an ad break, but Noel, Matt, if I were a defense contractor who wanted to get rid of human pilots and institute a new, very profitable stream of UAV,
just shoot them out of the plane.
I would create cases like this, wherein human error seems like an easy problem to solve. And that is not to say the pilot committed any error at all. I'm just saying this is an interesting thing to think about going forward.
That's an evil billionaire prank right there, Ben. Design the ejector seats to just go off randomly, automatically in the brand new $1 trillion plane.
I just want to close out, too, with a little bit of a statement that the Marines did release on Monday of this week, saying that General Eric M. Smith, who's the acting commander of the Marines, directed all Marine Corps aviation units to conduct a 2-day pause in operations. Let's just take a little pause. Let's reset. Let's have a little let's do some safety training, you know, some trust falls. Let's do some team building. The statement said the directive came after, this is from APM, just reading from it. After three, and this is an official term, Ben, Class A aviation mishaps. Whoopsies. Over the last 6 weeks, such mishaps involved property damage of 2.5 million or more, according to Marine Corps documents. And the last thing, you got a couple of fun hot takes from the Twitter sphere, whatever, Instagram. Actor Misha Collins wrote under a picture of the jet, "That's what they get for leaving the keys in the ignition." In other news, check out my new listing on Craigslist. No lowball offers. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Is that Misha from Supernatural?
I think it is.
That's awesome. Check out Bridgewater and hear Misha Collins right now.
Wow, I didn't realize. That's awesome. Well, I think we're all fascinated by this one. And to your point, Ben, probably not going to see too much more detail coming out, but this is an interesting glimpse of the stuff that Uncle Sam and Lockheed Martin don't want us to know, that they're screwing up. Well, let's take a break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with one more piece of strange news.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, we're back. And if you've gotten this far into the episode and you've got maybe kids with you or something like that, go ahead and maybe just skip to the next episode and keep going. We're going to talk about some homicide in this section of the show.
Unless your kids are into that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Here we are. So, very recently, in September, there were two women who have been found separately, 2 days apart, dead in their apartments in Los Angeles. It was, well, I'll give you the details here, and these details come from Fox 11 Los Angeles, in an article you can read right now, titled, Second Model Found Dead in Downtown LA Apartment. I'm going to read you just kind of the subtitle here. Authorities are investigating after two models were found dead in their downtown Los Angeles luxury apartments less than a mile away from each other, just 2 days apart. So immediately, before you hear any details, you, like us, probably hear that and think, oh, wow, I wonder if that's one actor, one person, one serial killer, right?
We got ourselves an unsub.
Yeah.
Is that a Criminal Minds reference?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a thing, but like that's, they say it all the time, and they're usually referring to serial killers.
Mm-hmm. As you're saying though, Matt, like, okay, so two deaths, similar careers, mm-hmm. or career goals.
Similar MO?
Yeah, that's the question.
That is the question, and as we're going to find out, I don't want to spoil it too much, but we do not have enough information from the authorities yet to know. Let me give you the details and we can see why this feels so connected. The first person that was discovered dead is Nicole Nikki, to her friends Coates. She was 32 years old. On September 10th of this year, she was discovered deceased in her apartment. That apartment is in the 700 block of Grand Avenue in Los Angeles. This is downtown Los Angeles. LAPD officers discovered her when a welfare check was initiated by her family. They were concerned because she stopped responding to communication for a time. Her cause of death, you know, that was at least initially announced, was unknown. But recently, the LAPD has issued a statement saying that her death is being investigated as a, quote, death investigation. I don't know what that means, but and perhaps not a homicide specifically investigation, just looking into her passing. The second victim, so that's one person, Nicole Coates, 32 years old. I neglected to say that she was a model by profession, as well as some other pursuits that she had. But that's a key thing here, because the second person who was found, Melissa Mooney, that's how I'm choosing to pronounce it, M-A-L-E-E-S-A. She was 31 years old, also a model, also working as a real estate agent. She was found 2 days after Nicole on September 12th, again discovered deceased in her downtown luxury apartment, this time in the 200 block of South Figueroa Street. Again, LAPD officers show up to her apartment responding to a welfare check initiated by family because she stopped responding to communication. Her cause of death also listed as unknown at the time, but now LAPD is saying her death is being investigated as a homicide.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Right?
This also knowing, for anyone unfamiliar with the area, the reason it's important to say that these are luxury apartments is because that includes a certain barrier of security. So to enter a place like this, you will need codes or cards or key fobs,
yes,
at least something like that. It's not a random Motel 6 kind of thing that you can just stroll up to.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? And let's make a point about this. Something strange, at least about several Atlanta luxury apartment complexes I've been to over the years, They have all those systems in place to prevent unwanted entry, right? Both into the complex and into individual sections of that complex. But often I've found, and tell me what you guys have seen in your, you know, your dealings with luxury apartments or nicer apartment complexes, often they don't have a ton of security cameras around to actually monitor the grounds. At least that's what I've seen.
The privacy of our tenants,
right,
is a top priority.
And it seems that way. But then it makes it it's creepy to me. It feels like it could potentially be a hunting ground for someone, because if you do go in there, it's like you're a ghost, which is really, it's really creepy to me. And I don't know what the situations are like in those two apartment complexes where both of these women were found dead. But because again, it's never stated, at least in any of the reporting I've found, exactly which apartment complexes these are. I'm assuming it's because, I don't know, they don't want news crews there, or they don't want the bad press for the companies that run the apartments. I don't know.
Well, one thing I've noticed, at some of the, maybe they're, I don't know what qualifies as luxury exactly, but, oftentimes these entry measures are under maintenance. They're not working very well at all. A close friend just recently moved out of what I thought was a pretty nice apartment complex, but like security gates would always just be open, like to the garage, to the parking garage. And like sometimes doors would be propped open and things like that. So to your point, there's not a lot of monitoring of the systems, I think, you know?
I don't want to do too much personal stuff, but I went to pick up my son the other day, and his mom lives in a townhome complex thing that has a lot of security, right? And a very expensive HOA, like crazy expensive. I've never seen one that expensive ever in my life.
Let's do an HOA episode.
Seriously.
Oh, so but, weird.
Let's bring some fire to it.
But their, as front, you were saying, Matt, their front gate was just standing open. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Okay, because usually I have to call her number to get in. But no. I just drove right in there like I would was anybody. And
very similar situation.
Anyone can share a code, especially if it's the equivalent of, you know, like 4 to 6, 8 digits, maybe for the nerds. You can share it, and then all of a sudden it's out in the world. There's one thing we got to point out here, Matt, and I think we can all agree on this. Los Angeles, as a metropolitan area, has a much higher frequency of people pursuing careers in things like modeling.
Mm-hmm.
So such that we need to be careful and exercise objectivity when we're reading headlines that say, oh, two models were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
There are many more models in Los Angeles or people pursuing that career than That's there right. are in, say, Poughkeepsie. And additionally, a lot of people die in Los Angeles. Los Angeles has a huge problem with homicide that does not often get acknowledged. However, to your original point here, man, and I think the reason we're talking about this, how many coincidences can there be? You know, these are people who live very close to each other. LAPD, probably most famous for beating the shit out of an innocent man a while back. LAPD is being a little close to the chest with information that could help. That could help save innocent people. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair to LAPD.
We've talked about the whole gang mentality and police departments, and I believe Los Angeles has been notorious for that kind of organizing amongst certain members. I've been rewatching the show The Shield with Michael Chiklis. It's about LA cops.
Hell yeah,
it's really good. It holds up. I like it a lot. But it covers stuff like this. But yeah, so this is downtown LA.
Yes,
I'm looking now, and it's funny. Downtown LA feels a lot more like New York. It really feels like that kind of mm-hmm. city. Whereas the rest of LA, it's sprawl, you know? It's like, it's such a massive metro area. You've got so many different communities spread over this huge, yeah. Geographical area. But downtown LA is very specific, and it's very gritty, very Gotham kind of, like compared to, it doesn't look like any other parts of the city. And it's also where you'll find Skid Row, an area known for just like, unhoused kind of compounds and sort of, and
yeah.
just a lot of crime, a lot of nasty stuff in downtown LA.
Well, yeah. Let me just show you guys what I found. I did a minor investigation here because, again, you only get like the block number and the street in all the reporting. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to throw any apartment complexes under the bus. I don't know if these are the right ones. I found two that fit those descriptions just so I could estimate how far of a drive. Like, how long does a drive take? How long does a walk take?
This is why we hang out. This is why we hang out, man.
Yeah. Okay. So if you go to Google Maps, find Sky at Bunker Hill Apartments, that's in the 200 block of South Figueroa.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And 8th and Grand Apartments, which fits the 700 block of Grand Avenue, you'll see that it is roughly, these two are roughly 1 to 1.1 miles away from each other, which again fits the descriptions that we've seen there. And it's roughly a 21 minute walk if you were just hoofing it on the streets to get there on the shortest route possible. And it would only take 5 minutes to drive there if you didn't get stuck in some crazy LA traffic.
Sure.
So again, the whole reason is that if it was a single operator, being that close in distance with two, They're not super similar when you look at the apartment complexes, if these two are in fact the apartment complexes, because they very well may not be.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like an MO thing, right? If you're matching up an MO type of victim. Also, I didn't even mention, these are two black women in their early 30s.
Right. The demographics are very similar.
That's right.
So I don't know.
Well, also, there's another question here. Couple just housekeeping things, and hopefully I'm sure law enforcement has already figured this out, even if they don't announce it publicly. Matt, I agree with your estimation regarding the two most likely complexes. Curious to see whether they have, one, the same or similar owners, and two, whether they use the same or similar third-party maintenance companies, like a house.
That's good thinking. Good thinking.
That's really smart, Ben. You know, someone that would have had access. Obviously no motive, but it's eerie, the similarities between the two women.
Oh, that's messed up, man. You just put a scenario in my head that I can see really clearly. Right around this time is when HVAC companies go out to do the checks on all the units in individual single-family homes as well as multifamily homes.
Yeah.
And I see your logic there, Ben, and I don't like how clear it is.
No, I think you're onto something there.
Well, we are not the official investigators, and we're being very careful, I think, to not allege things that we cannot prove.
Absolutely.
We also have to point out that, you know, sometimes people want a spectacle, right? Want to believe that there is an active serial murderer, when in fact, those entities are quite rare. The truth of the matter is, to your point, the truth of the matter is that two innocent people died.
Yes.
And they died in close proximity, both in terms of their careers and in terms of their geographic location. And it's heartbreaking. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being, what is it, Sharon Coates, Nikki's mom?
Yeah.
And saying, why won't the police investigate this as a homicide? To the point you made earlier, why is one a quote-unquote death investigation and the other is a homicide investigation? Yeah. This is troubling.
Let me give you a quote here from ABC Channel 7, who spoke with, I think I would say Shania Mason, who is Nicole's cousin. This is her quote. It just didn't look right to us. Didn't look right how she was positioned on the bed. She was even unrecognizable, as if she'd been beat. They had to identify her by her tattoos. So that is Nicole's cousin speaking on the state of Nicole when she was discovered in her apartment. That feels to me like a homicide investigation, right? I don't know, maybe not. That sounds like one to me. If someone appears to be physically beaten and they're found dead, that is, Nicole is the person who LAPD currently says it is a, quote, death investigation rather than a homicide investigation. I don't have much information about Melissa and how she was found or anything like that, or statements from the family. But I do have a statement from the LAPD, which was given to San Francisco Gate on September 19th. Really quickly, here we go. Since their discovery, LAPD Central Bureau Homicide has been investigating the deaths of both Ms. Coates and Ms. Mooney. Since both cases remain active investigations, details about either case will not be released. However, based on the investigation thus far, there is no evidence. Again, he's saying no evidence to suggest that the deaths of Ms. Coates and Ms. Mooney are related to one another. That's what it stated, but there's still no cause of death for either case as of the latest reporting, which came out yesterday evening, Tuesday, September 19th.
Yeah. Like you said, we were talking about this a little bit off air. Our concern is for the family, for the survivors, for anyone who may know any relevant information. And it's just heartbreaking that this kind of thing can occur. And look, lest we sound like we are unfairly denigrating law enforcement, folks, you got to realize there are people who are working on this stuff around the clock, and they are racing for the answers. If you're thinking about the medical examiners, guess what? They're in Los Angeles. They are overloaded all the time.
This is what I would say, last thing here. If you do have information, just happen to know one of these individuals, happen to know a tiny piece of information that may be helpful with the investigation, if you choose to, you can contact LAPD, their homicide division, Central Bureau Homicide, right now. I'm going to give you a number. They've posted it all over online. You can find it. It is 213-996-4150. This is what they write. You can speak with Detective Pierce or Marcinek. Those are two detectives who are covering these cases. There is also a way to leave an anonymous tip if you don't want to be identified, if you've got information about something bad that you may be, you know, minorly attached to, you're just nervous about it. You can call LA Crime Stoppers anonymously. It is 1-800-222-TIPS, T-I-P-S.
And Matt, can we have that first number one more time?
Sure. First number for LAPD Homicide Division, 213-996-4150.
It is good to be a part of the solution if you can, folks. And we promised you one palate cleanser, which pales in comparison here, but we wanted to, amidst all this strange news, people are losing multi-million dollar airplanes. There are unsolved murders happening now, and there is a war that the West would rather you not care about. So we wanted to leave you one funny story. It's also a crime. Let's go to Alaska. Mm-hmm. Two bears shook down a Krispy Kreme donut van.
Dude.
On a military base.
Yeah, they did. Oh.
Did you also hear about the bear that was invading Disney World?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had not. Yeah. No, yeah. What's up with this guy?
The internet today, guys, made the joke or posited the delightful conspiracy that Ron DeSantis set the bear loose because of his ongoing strife with Disney, that he is not faring very well. It has kind of derailed his political aspirations. But man, the bears.
They're coming for us.
The bears.
Yeah, so I found this on a great Twitter account, AP Oddities. Just read the headline. This is what I think grabbed all of us. And the reason I had to send it to you guys. Quote, "Donut, stop me now. Two bears raided a Krispy Kreme donut van that was stopped outside a store on an Alaskan military base. I could hear them breaking open the packages and everything," the store manager said. "I was like, they don't even care." And for some reason, the store manager saying they don't even care, I don't know why it's so epic to me.
I wonder if they
had a favorite flavor, you know, like, are they, do you think they're more into, I like a French cruller myself, but do you think bears like filling in their donuts, or are they just indiscriminate, pawing at whatever's out there?
First of all, can you imagine the delicious smell that delivery truck had emanate? Like, just the, if you can just imagine it flowing out from, you know, if you could see
like
the
cartoon smell lines, like, you know, like a pie on a windowsill.
It's very Yogi Bear, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what kind of donuts are in there. You can just tell there's sugar involved. There's some kind of wheat or whatever it is that's been baked.
Also, let's be clear. We're doing our best, and I think we're doing okay as a group. We're doing our best to support human beings. But I think it's fair to say that if we, and Doc, I'm pulling you in on this, I think if the four of us saw a bear doing a heist, if it wasn't our stuff, we wouldn't stop the bear. We'd be like,
give him the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Fight the power, dog. Or bear.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm getting images of Shaquille O'Neal in my head.
Because he owns Krispy Kreme. Shaquille O'Neal runs so many Atlanta outfits.
Okay, sorry. I was trying to figure out. It was almost like I was having synesthesia when thinking about the smell of Krispy Kreme. And I was like, well, Shaq, what are you doing in here?
I experience smells in the form of Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal.
That's perfect. Yeah, and that's a great marketing thing. Yes. Krispy Kreme, you can have that. Put the sign up on Ponce de Leon Avenue that says smells like Shaq. Credit to Mr. Matt Frederick. If you could, we're going to call it an evening. As we say, it's time to noctivigate. We hope that you, we want to thank you for tuning in. Most importantly, we hope that you join us in investigating these ongoing stories. We want to hear from you if you're a pilot. We want to hear from you if you work in aviation. We want to hear from you if you have loved ones in the Azerbaijan, Armenia area, in that part of the world. We also want to hear from you in Los Angeles. And perhaps most importantly, we hope you will join the show in an upcoming listener mail segment. We try to be easy to find online.
Ooh, somebody taught me the right way to say the thing that I've been flippity flopping, and I'm probably still going to get it wrong. But you can get to us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on YouTube, Facebook, and X Nay Twitter, because Nay in French means born. So it was born as Twitter, but it is now X. So it means X, formerly known as or born as. And that helpful tip, which you I believe schooled me correctly, Ben, as well, came from Lord Anki or Inky. So thank you. I'll never get that wrong again. Though I hate to have to lead with the one that we don't like, which is a bummer, but still, it's better than nothing. You can find the Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
But wait, what if someone doesn't sip the social meads?
If you don't like social mead, call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. You've got 3 minutes before it cuts you off. So make sure you use that time to give us a cool nickname. We don't care what it is, as long as it's not your government name. And let us know if we can use your message and name on one of our listener mail episodes.
But hey, if you don't like social media, what kind of a Viking even are you?
Yeah.
That's all I guess.
I don't want your honey wine. I want muscadines. No, I'm sorry. I don't know. Sure.
So gross.
Doc, drop the beat.
Ben, what should someone do if they don't want to do any of that stuff, but they still want to write to us?
Then they should send us an email. We are conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.